Atheist Nomads, episode 312. It's just a rock.
The podcast you're about to listen to includes cursing and talking about hoo-haws. Please be advised.
Welcome to another episode of Atheist Nomads. I am Dustin. Joining me is Lauren.
Hello.
And we have Aaron.
Hi. I can never do this right.
We're doing great.
And this week we're doing the shaking of things up with doing, you know, rotating through who covers something interesting of a atheist or skeptical or humanistic bent. Interesting topics of interest.
Kylie is currently playing on the dog bed. She is happy. She is complacent. We are going to go ahead and do this.
Yes, that won't last long because Kylie is now full-blown toddler running around,
making her dad huff and puff after her at Best Buy.
Getting into everything all of the time.
Right.
Freaking hilarious.
The first thing that she did was, ow!
Yep.
Because she stubbed her toe.
Yep. But it was awesome on vacation, having her be more mobile and independent and active.
Seeing her eyes widen when we went to the Newport, Oregon Coast Museum.
Yeah.
Like, she, like, totally ignored the otters. She had no idea what was going on.
I don't know what she's...
And then she turned around and saw the displays, and she was like, what is this magical place?
Yeah, I don't know. We might have to break up, because if you didn't like the otters... by the way, I'm looking her straight in the eyes and talking to her right now.
she's a little person. She can handle it.
If you don't like otters, then we can't be friends. Mm-hmm.
Okay, she all right
said,
with that.
Yeah. That's so fine.
So I'm obsessed with rocks. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm obsessed mm-hmm. with geology and
we're not
rocks
getting to the germs yet.
Yeah.
We still have announcements. Oh, you're not getting to gems yet. Sorry, go ahead.
So that is going to be this week's subject that I am going to be doing as soon as we get done with announcements.
And news. Okay, so first off, while we were on vacation, the episode was late. It was actually done and ready before we left, but it didn't quite work out because I clicked something wrong when I was posting it, so it only worked if you had the link and it didn't go out the RSS feed. And I discovered that when I finally got Wi-Fi, when we were eating fresh Dungeness crab and ocean shrimp and rock cod
in Bandon. Humble brag. By the way, we were on vacation. We were eating all the good seafood.
This was my last chance to get good seafood before we headed inland, and damn it, I was not going to waste it.
That's a good plan.
And so got Wi-Fi, and I was like, oh, wait a minute. We didn't release an episode. What's wrong here? And I found it, and I released it, so that's why it went out 4th of July. It was not to be a special 4th of July episode. That was an accident.
Shout out to Tony's. Oh, man, so good.
Oh, so good, yeah.
In Bandon.
And I also recently learned about Patreon's fraud prevention, which explains why they last put our money on hold and makes me really wonder why they bothered lying to me when it's actually a pretty decent explanation. If you use a non-real name for your Patreon name, your pledge is more likely to be flagged as possibly fraudulent.
Oh.
If you make atypical pledge amounts, so, like, you increase a pledge from $1 to $1.05, that is more likely to get you flagged as possibly fraudulent.
Hmm.
So, if you have both of those, if you've changed your name recently and then make a change to your pledge, you are more likely to be flagged as possibly fraudulent. So, if you have recently changed your name, it's not the name that matches your credit card, and you made a atypical pledge change, it's going to get flagged as fraudulent and our money is going to get put on hold. That is what I have learned.
Yeah, it's because some shows read off anytime that somebody donates. So.
Opening Arguments has their top donors and new donors, and they make it a game to have funny, weird names on Patreon that are not your real name, and then they read those on the show, and I find it incredibly tedious and annoying and obnoxious, and skip through it every single episode I listen to.
And we have never done that.
No.
So, you're no benefit to changing your pledge amount or changing your name with us.
I mean, change your pledge amount.
Right.
Go up.
But
go up significantly.
Any money's fine.
Whole dollar amounts, at least, you know, 50 cents is probably fine. But like, this isn't just Patreon that considers stuff like that possibly fraudulent.
PayPal.
Our bank. All right. And then we talked several months ago about doing a campout. And we did get follow-up recently. And Lauren...
saying, hey, what about that? And we're like, oh, whoops. So, summer is pushing on. And I have contacted somebody who owns a property in Island Park. And we have a tent spaces and a couple of beds available for people who want to come visit the beautiful state of Idaho.
And specifically in Idaho, in Island Park.
And to come visit Idaho and then skip it by going to Yellowstone, because that's where the all the interesting stuff is.
Right.
Right. Fun day trips from this area are Yellowstone. We'll be timing it pretty close for bison migration.
Yeah.
Way too early for bison migration. That's October.
I like that we're using the proper name on
Thank
this.
You. Yes, we...
Thank you.
We are also calling prairie dogs / ground squirrels mini marmots. Because they are neither dogs nor squirrels. They are marmots.
Yeah.
They're mini marmots.
Oh, you might see...
I mean, they're all rodents.
You might see a yellow-bellied marmot in the area. Because they are around there. There is Big Spring, where the... Henry's Fork of the Snake River comes out of the ground, and there are tons of fish constantly there eating. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And a tiny little house built by a very short German man.
Johnny Sack's cabin.
There's fishing. There's a hammock by a creek.
Yeah.
If you want to do ASMR videos, that would be a good place to do some recording.
Don't do it.
And so if you want to come, you do need to RSVP to get the address. We will put up paper plate signs with just the cryptic AN.
No, we'll do something funny.
Okay, we'll tell you what to look for.
Flying spaghetti monster or something. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. What, $10 for an individual, $20 for a family?
Yeah, I think that'll help cover just electricity... stuff like that. The owners of the property will be there, so we will have to be respectful of that. Mostly because this thing's kind of old and decrepit, and it's really hard to set up and tear, you know, shut down. So we'll just let the people who own it take care of that part. But it'll be fun. September
13 to 15. So we'll go up Friday and shoot for being there by 2 p.m. And we'll be leaving Sunday afternoon. So come hang out. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
Aaron, if you can make it, that'd be awesome.
Well, I'll check my schedule.
All right. Pencil it in.
I'll pencil it in.
All right. Let's get to some news. In response to the Catholic child sex abuse scandal, Chile has passed a law that removes the statute of limitations for rape, sexual abuse, production of pornography, and prostitution involving children and adolescents. Unfortunately, this is not retroactive.
It's and what just for is moving. The freaking point?
Well, moving forward, I guess.
Well, that's great, but...
You can't make changes retroactively like that.
No.
Once somebody thinks they're off the hook, they really need to be...
Don't you think they'd be doing it again anyway?
Yeah, probably. They've got 150 cases out of the 200 reports they got, the authorities got of child sex abuse from priests.
Mm-hmm.
They've got 150 there actively investigating for criminal charges.
Right. In her sleep.
There we go.
So this is definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody's taking it seriously and doing
An
something.
Entire government.
Yeah.
Right. Which is great.
Which is a nice change of pace.
Yeah.
This was a bill that had initially been proposed 10 years ago and never went anywhere until Chile's president revived it last year.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Every time you say Chile's, it's a restaurant. I know this is not...
They have really good fajitas.
Would you rather I pronounce it Chile?
Yes.
Yes, probably, because every time I'm like, appetizers.
Oh my god, the molten chocolate cake is to
or
die
baby
for.
Back ribs.
baby back ribs.
I know this is a serious topic, but you know me and child abuse, so
yeah,
like, I gotta,
me, child abuse food.
It's
all connected.
It's just like
it's baby
hard.
Back ribs and
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, Dustin.
Now, you just went. Hey,
you're the one that said baby back ribs.
I said baby back ribs, but.
You're the one that turned it into an association.
Yeah, you correlated. Oh, my gosh.
Chili, baby back ribs. It's all connected.
Which are very good for tickling, I have discovered.
Tickling the ribs?
Tickling the little back ribs. It's fun.
Aww.
She's laughing because Kylie is currently attached in her sleep, and it's sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've been packed together.
And Brevard County, Florida was sued in 2015 by the Central Florida Freethought Community, Humanist Community of the Space Coast, and the Space Coast Freethought Association over being rejected by the county when their members had requested to be allowed to deliver the invocations for the county's meetings. They won in 2017 at the district court level, and they have now won at the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals.
Uh-huh.
The county went so far as to admit that they would reject atheists, deists, Wiccans, Rastafarians, and polytheists, and would probably reject Hindus, Sikhs, and followers of Native American religions.
Oh, so they're just straight up saying, if it's not Christian, we're not going to do it.
Christian's okay. Jewish is okay. Muslim, okay. Anybody else? Yeah.
But Abrahamic religions only.
Right. So they basically are stating that even though, because they got sued.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they lost.
They've lost twice so far now.
I'm sure they're going to appeal again, and then they're going to go up a little bit more.
The Greece ruling is the Supreme Court ruling that prompted this lawsuit and prompted their policy. It was the one that allowed for sectarian prayers in meetings as long as children aren't expected to be in attendance.
Hmm.
So school boards, no prayers, but most other government bodies can have sectarian invocations as long as it is open to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how...
And this is how it's been abused.
Yeah, if you want to push religious liberty as opposed to church-state separation, what you end up getting is everyone is free to be as religious as they want at all times.
Just want to be free to be me.
Nice. Get that on a shirt.
I mean, it's a song.
Oh. Well, it's a good song. It's a good lyric.
There we go. Another Aaron ripoff. No, that first one was not a ripoff, but here's another Aaron quote. I just want to be free to be me.
I like it.
Now, if they were to appeal to the Supreme Court, I think they'd be rejected because the Supreme Court recently ruled on basically this exact issue. So we'll see. The question is,
how do you enforce it? If
you
they're being dicks about it.
You just keep suing.
Okay.
And
that won't stop it.
One point, yeah, but then they're going to have to put money out. And then if they keep getting sued, then they have to make a decision of like, well, are we going to run out of money?
Also,
or are we
did
gonna
you
let
say
these people...
that they lived in the Space Coast?
Yeah.
Can I live there, too?
Where's the Space Coast?
It's the area around the Kennedy Space Center.
That's awesome.
Cape Canaveral area.
But we don't want to live in Space Coast.
It's Central Florida.
I don't want to live there.
Ew, no, thank you. I don't want to live in Florida.
But it sounds so cool.
The humidity and the people.
That's just because they intentionally tried to put as much NASA stuff as possible in the South to keep rednecks from wanting to pull funding from NASA.
Smooth move.
Yeah, all right.
Also, better weather there than most places.
Yeah, for sure. Like,
the Cape is really fair weather.
Well, there's afternoon storms, but it's pretty clear for the most part.
It's consistent. Solid,
yeah.
Almost the same weather all the time, and that particular part of Florida doesn't get hurricanes.
Oh, I was going to say, boring. Until the hurricanes come.
But they don't. They are one of the least likely places on the East Coast to get hit by a hurricane.
Huh.
Less likely than Georgia.
Government control. Yep. I'm seeing it now.
Well,
so,
government is protecting their assets.
this is one where, yeah, there is... In this case, the lower court ruling included an injunction that required them to allow the 8 people that had been rejected to do invocations.
Well,
explicitly
8.
For them to be put on the schedule to do invocations. The appeals court narrowed that injunction to just saying they have to change the policy.
Hmm.
Okay.
So they don't actually have to let them do invocations. They just have to change the policy to allow them to do invocations.
And then not let them do the invocations.
Now, of course, if they fail to, if they reject them again, then it would be pretty easy to say, hey, judge, they aren't complying.
Right.
At which point the judge will tell them they have to comply or hold them.
Oh my God.
Hold someone in contempt of court.
I just realized the city councils are basically siblings.
Yeah.
They're the... And the judges are the parents. He's not sharing. Share with your citizens.
And let's go ahead and take a break. So if you'd like to support the show, you can and get ad-free episodes. You can find out how at atheistnomads.com/donate. Let's get back to news. We have an update on a story from episode 238, which was released in February of last year.
Okay.
The Bayview Association of the United Methodist Church settled its lawsuit that had been filed against them. At issue was their policy that everyone who owns a cottage at the resort be a member of the association.
Cottage.
And all members of the association have to be active going Christians.
Like, so it's like a neighborhood, like a gated community that has a little local church. And if you're not there every Sunday,
then you need to leave.
You don't have to attend that one. This is a resort, like a summer resort.
Oh, so you summer there.
Yes.
Oh,
this is for ridiculously wealthy people.
So, I mean, okay. Is it kind of like, you know, the Catskills, you know, when people, Jewish people would go to the Catskills to summer all together and they'd have little... Yeah. It's like a known resort place.
This probably would have started...
Yeah.
This was 1800s, okay. Around the same time.
Yeah.
This group was associated with Methodists.
I didn't know that this was a thing.
Now, mm-hmm. Originally, you had to be white.
Of course.
And they had a quota on Catholics.
They're so forgiving. That's so
funny.
Well,
because they're not technically Christian, right?
And actually, I'm going to guess the original thing was you had to be a WASP, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant.
Oh, well,
and
there
then they started
go.
Narrowing it down to, okay, white Christians are fine, but not too many Catholics.
I love that.
And then they weakened it down because they would have gotten in way too much trouble for not allowing black people to join.
After a bit, yeah.
And so they like, okay, so you just have to be Christian. And then in 85, they added a requirement that a majority of the board members be members of the Methodist Church.
Oh.
To keep using the Methodist Church's tax-exempt status.
Ah. Yeah. I'm like, this sounds like a perfectly and legal then, private area. Why don't they just,
in
but that's...
1892, under a Michigan law, they got recognition as a municipality.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that's... Yeah.
So are they a governmental organization? Are they a church club? Ooh. That's what this whole case was about.
Right.
And further making things complicated, this has been around for like 140 years.
Mm-hmm.
Members have died and left property to people. And by property, we're talking the cottage.
Right.
The association owns the land.
Right.
They have not had anyone they can... will the cottage to because their children aren't Christian or their spouse isn't Christian or the right kind of Christian. There have been Jewish people that have tried to join or who tried to inherit cottages. They couldn't. They had to sell. This has caused a lot of problems. And there's also members of the association that were upset about how this was making it more difficult for them to sell their property.
Yeah, it doesn't do you any good to have the sweet-ass property if you can't sell it.
Because of the restrictions?
Although I think that there would be plenty of WASPs out there who would be more than happy to buy up that property.
I don't know. They're probably like, Michigan, ew.
There's good stuff in Michigan.
I'm sure there is. I've never been to Michigan.
That's the Mitt, right?
Yeah.
You don't like it.
This is in the Mitt. I know we have listeners in Michigan, and I am sorry, but my experience in that state was horrible, and the only remotely redeeming thing about it was that they had beaches.
Yeah, so isn't it pretty humid?
Oh, yeah.
Because of the lakes.
Which lake is it in?
It's between Michigan. Well, it's got like almost all of them. Michigan, Ontario, and Superior, depending on what part of...
Lake Superior Agates. Yeah.
Depending on which part of Michigan you're in.
I should look up the properties.
What's Michigan like known for?
Isle Royale.
Like, what kind of agricultural property?
They're really well known for urban Minnesota. Decay.
Detroit?
Detroit.
There we go.
Formerly major automotive place.
Yeah, that's... There we go. Uh-huh.
That's right. That's where you can find slag agates. So the Ford companies, they would do, you know, paint tests, and you just end up with like 3 feet layer thick of all these different paints that they were testing. And then that stuff eventually was abandoned and erosion would grind them down into little pebbles. And you could find multicolored, rainbow colored little pebbles that is just actually really old paint. Yeah. And it's kind of cool.
With agriculture.
So they're known for that.
They're really well known for their, I think it's potatoes and apples.
I only say that because, you know, Wisconsin dairy, which is not No, that is agriculture.
That's the definition of agriculture.
Michigan also has Amish.
Whoa, Aaron.
Michigan, what?
I know
it has Amish.
Yes, Amish.
Oh, I always think Pennsylvania.
Most people do.
But that's
the Pennsylvania Dutch.
That's the Dutch Amish.
Yeah,
right?
Poor little Michigan Amish are like, oh.
No, the Pennsylvania Dutch Amish people.
The Pennsylvania Dutch is a mispronunciation of Deutsch.
Deutsch, okay.
Deutsch.
Deutsch.
Yeah, because Americans can't pronounce foreign words. And then it gets just kind of...
How do they get German out of Deutsch?
That's what the Germans call themselves.
I know. I'm asking, how did it get English?
The word German
studied.
That came from French.
Of course it did. We love to culturally appropriate languages.
Oh, no. It actually makes sense how it came from French, because the Norman court, until the Hundred Years' War, spoke French. Uh-huh. So all of the diplomacy would have been done in French, which would mean all of England's names for other countries came from French.
Mm.
Sucks for the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Deutschens.
Deutschland.
All right. So anyway, in February, the Housing and Urban Development Secretary ruled that Bayview was engaged in unlawful discriminatory housing practices and retaliation against the complainants, end quote.
Retaliation case that ooh. Mm.
This then got the Attorney General to file a complaint against them. Now, odds are that it wasn't really Ben Carson or Jeff Sessions that made these decisions, but that's beside the point, and that is their departments that did this.
Uh-huh.
Like, if it's bad enough for Jeff Sessions and Ben Carson to say, "You're being way too Christian about this.
That's...
You got a problem."
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
You're going to ruin it for everybody.
Uh-huh.
So then the lawyers advise them to settle, since going to court could result in them being ruled a town.
Oh, and then have their...
Not a private club.
Right.
Yep.
Which would have resulted in them having to stop all of the plethora of religious programming that the association puts on.
Right,
and then, turn it into a secular organization.
And then they wouldn't be tax exempt, right?
They'd be differently tax exempt.
Mm.
So they were advised to settle, and settle they did.
All right.
For an undisclosed amount, right?
Well, they have... I don't know if there's actually any money. They have removed the requirements that members be Christian. They have removed the requirement that a majority of the board members be Methodist. And they are severing their legal ties with the United Methodist Church and will be filing for their own tax exemption. Huh. They are also agreeing to being under a 5-year consent decree with the Department of Justice monitoring every single decision they make.
Do you think they're still going to alienate people, though?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be like, "Cool, we can't keep you out, but we don't need to
make
sure that
you're miserable."
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
that's all right.
Okay, if you go...
At least that's legal.
If you go to your summer cottage and you're welcomed at the gate with, "All right, here's all of the religious programs happening while you're here. Please come to them." And then all the time, you just keep getting reminded, "All right, Are you coming to the church service? You coming to the church service?
Gonna do the potluck? Gonna come to the potluck?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty miserable.
Susan, I hear your deviled eggs are just amazing.
It's the pickle juice.
So it turns out it's not just American Christians that are exclusionary housing assholes.
Of course not.
A Lebanese Muslim couple had a hard time finding an affordable apartment to rent in the Beirut metro area when they finally found one. But they were informed that the town only allows Christians to rent or buy housing.
Oh.
So.
Wow.
Now, actually, this rule only applies to Christian property in the town.
Mm-hmm.
So Muslims who own property there are free to sell or rent to anyone.
Okay.
But Christians are only allowed to sell or rent to other Christians. For some background on this, at the time of Lebanon's last official census, which was when the French were in charge in 1932.
Okay, don't need a census. That's all right. Run a government without knowing how many people you have.
It was a majority Christian country. It is now two-thirds Muslim, about equally split between Sunnis and Shiites. So Sunnis, Shiites, and Christians are pretty equal parts of the population.
That's a nice pie graph right there.
Mm-hmm.
That resulted in a 15-year-long civil war with 100,000 people dead that finally ended in 1990.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a reason why people don't go vacation there.
Their food's damn good, though.
Oh, my God, right?
You mix French and Arabic cuisine, and it's amazing. Man.
I have a place in Portland, and it's a Lebanese restaurant. That's my favorite. But we did not go there last time.
So
regret.
I am regretful about that.
So at the end of the Civil War, so 1990, this town from today's story was entirely Christian, at least according to the town.
Right. Right.
Now it's 60% Muslim.
Woo. Yep.
It's 60% Muslim?
Yes.
So then the Christians are really holding on to everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is prompted by Muslims having more babies than Christians have, which causes Muslims in Muslim neighborhoods to overcrowd the neighborhoods. So they move out to less crowded areas, which is where the Christians are.
Right.
And so people are moving from Muslim neighborhoods to Christian neighborhoods. This policy was put in place in 2010 to try to keep more Muslims from moving to this town. Make it easy for Christians to move to town, but don't make it easy for Muslims to move to town.
Okay.
This violates the 1990 Constitution.
Oh.
Which was written entirely to calm the tensions between Sunnis, Shiites, and Christians.
Yeah, I was going to say, wait, didn't they fight a war over this, and didn't they lose?
Yeah, like, this is a country where they are so... sectarian tension is so high that they have a split executive so that between the president, I think it's president, vice president, and prime minister, one has to be Christian, one has to be Sunni, and one has to be Shiite.
Ah, I see.
In their parliament, there are a certain number of seats that have to be held by each of the three groups.
That makes sense.
I think that they should evacuate the country and a whole bunch of Hindus move in and then they can't do anything and they have no idea what's going on. That'd be hilarious.
And then, like, Benny Hill music should be on.
Where's my soundboard?
I still need to find that cable. Or just buy a new one.
Excuses. All right, moving on.
Excuses.
Or at least finishing the story.
Yeah, so yeah, this is something that isn't supposed to be happening, and it is. It doesn't matter where you are. Like, it's really easy to look at Christians as being controlling assholes when they have power in the U.S. At least becoming more and more that way.
Oh, goodness, yeah.
It's Lebanon is a place where Christians have lost power. And so they are hanging on to it everywhere they possibly can. We are starting to see that here.
Yeah.
Quickly. Very, very quickly.
Like, there's a war on us.
Not just Christmas anymore.
It's just a war on Christians.
A war on sweet baby Jesus.
Sweet baby Jesus.
Sweet, sweet baby Jesus.
Which everybody knows who's had a baby. Couldn't have been sweet all the time.
So, during the recent heat wave across France, protests and counter-protests shut down the pools in a city in southeastern France. The city requires that men must wear Speedo-style swimsuits and women must wear close-fitting one-piece swimsuits in the city's pools.
Wait, really?
Yep.
So no shorts.
Nope.
And no bikinis.
Nope.
No tankinis?
Nope.
I love tankinis.
One piece only.
Oh, that's just weird. Okay. This is a private or a public pool?
This is public.
Yeah, that's
but
just
But isn't France
stupid.
Also the one who said that you couldn't have burkinis?
Yes.
Where the protest started. In May, a group of Muslim women went to the pool in burkinis despite these rules. They were each fined 35 euros.
They're probably like, okay, we were hot,
because
whatever.
It's when it's hot out, oh my gosh.
Like, I don't care.
People need access to water. It's a universal thing. People will flock to local water sources in heat.
Right.
And if you start discriminating, those people are stuck in their homes. And that can be really unhealthy. And yeah.
I like being stuck in my home and my air conditioning.
If you have air conditioning, it's great.
Yeah.
So they then did a second protest in late June where they cited Rosa Parks as their inspiration and their goal as religious freedom. This got the media's attention.
Is this the new... Quick question. Is this a story that had so much comments on the Facebook page?
Oh my God. Did we finally shut that down?
I hope so, because I was getting notification after notification. And I get that some of you...
Okay. This was a touchy one.
Yes, it was.
Because there's pro-women, anti-Muslim, pro-women, pro-Muslim, which isn't as common. There's anti-women, pro-Muslim, anti-women, anti-Muslim, which seems to be... That's the problematic one.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, isn't this about religious freedom? Too. I mean, the bikini in itself is that these women want to wear it.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw what I saw on there was a lot of people saying, well, yeah, they shouldn't be wearing it because it's so oppressive and all this.
It's oppressive to women.
Oppressing
it
women
is oppressing
in the name
to
of
women.
Not of trying to stop the oppression of women.
Right. But
I don't get it.
Right.
Because in the real world, if you say, well, we're trying to free these women by making them. Strip, you need to reassess your values.
Yes.
And also, if you, because, I mean, come on. What's the end result? Women don't get to go to the pool.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And really hairy men in Speedos do.
Yeah.
And regardless of whether a man is forcing that woman to wear a bikini to go to the pool or... It's her own choice because of her own culture and values is irrelevant.
Right.
Because if you don't let her go to the pool in a bikini, she can't go to the pool.
Period.
And that's the end result. And that's what you need to focus on when it comes to these. Yes. As atheists, we all think that it's all bullshit.
Yes, of course.
And we definitely think that the way that traditional Christians and Muslims treat their women is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But when the end result is still a woman not being able to do something,
they're being
You're not helping.
No,
you're making
not.
It worse.
Yes.
And then you start name calling each other on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
And come on, you know that we are 90% agreeing on stuff. Let the 10% go.
And don't make me shut down the Facebook page because it's the only reason I still have a Facebook account.
It's literally the only reason.
I know. That was just kind of, I mean... Here we are going to chastise because that was ridiculous, everybody.
It was
fight
really amusing,
after fight for a second until I was just like, okay, oh, look, I have 5 notifications in 10 minutes. Oh, it's people arguing about this. Yes, exactly. What it's boiled down to is people should have the freedom, no matter what they want to wear, whether that's their choice or not, to go to a public place in the summertime when it's fucking hot.
Yeah, that Poole should have never imposed those rules. That's
okay.
Just...
So they then planned a third protest.
Oh.
But by this time, a counter protest was beginning to be organized that had picked up the attention of thousands of people who wanted to take part.
Yeah, mm-hmm. This was the one I heard about.
And also really got the attention of right-wing pundits in the U.S. It was kind of hard to find a traditional news site to actually talk about this because it was mostly Breitbart, Hannity, and the like.
Mm.
So this counter-protest was a bunch of people in the name of secularism going to the pool at the same time the Burkini protesters were going to be there, mm-hmm. naked.
Yeah, didn't they make them strip? Or
that was a woman on the beach.
Oh, okay.
That was a couple of years ago. This was different. This was just, you know, hey, if you're going to show up wearing bikinis, we're going to show up naked. And it's like, wait, who are you? Oh, they were trying to make them so uncomfortable that they'd leave.
Yep.
Say, our bare skin will make you uncomfortable, and therefore you'll leave. And those women with bikinis are like, we don't care.
Right.
It would also get them all 35 euro fines. Yeah.
They don't. Yep.
Because naked is not wearing a one-piece swimsuit.
Right. And again, everybody's just like, it's hot.
Yeah.
Let's just get in the pool.
And it was kind of sad because it was feminist versus feminist. You know, it was one group saying, you know, this, you know, burkinis are oppressive. And the other group saying you can't force a woman to strip. It just is wrong.
And with the fight, it was religious freedom versus secularism.
Right.
France has a tendency to push secularism mm-hmm. to the state trying to drive religion out of the public square.
Right.
France has a tendency to take secularism to the point of hostility towards mm-hmm. religion. In the U.S., most secularists just want religious neutrality from the government.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is very different.
Yeah. I'm going to go back to the Facebook thing because I really got... Well, I got mad. I got mad because I'm just going to say it. There were a bunch of men commenting, and you don't know these women. We don't know them personally, so we can't say anything about it. But they just kept going off about how... And we get it. This is all bullshit. But we don't know what the...
We don't know the story.
The story is everybody was hot. Just wanted to go to the pool
because it's been freaking 100 degrees. Oh, right. Wait, that's here.
And if they were being very, very oppressed, they wouldn't be at the pool.
True.
In the first place.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. Right. Because in there's a water park in Jordan. I heard about mm-hmm. when I was there that has family days and it has women's days.
Mm hmm.
So if it's family days, married men can attend with their wives and children. On women's days, women and prepubescent children can go.
Mm-hmm.
Single men are never allowed.
That's cool. They don't get ogled. They
that
still do.
Is
sexy slabs of meat.
Where the if this
that's
had
weird.
Been
that's weird.
That is kind of
weird. And that's not even a particularly conservative Muslim country.
No.
That's pretty liberal to allow men and women to go to a water park together?
Yeah.
What?
But only at their families.
Yeah.
Right?
The dad's like, or the I'm not taking the kids to the water park. They're running around screaming, no, not unless I have my partner along with me. And she's like, oh, better change the rules then.
So if these women were being really oppressed, they would not have been allowed to go to a place where men are in Speedos.
Yeah, exactly.
I just can't stop imagining really hairy dudes in Speedos.
Well, because you know there's like a lot of them.
Yes.
And they do not know an appropriate Speedo size either.
There is no appropriate Speedo size.
I've seen like trunks that are kind of like the...
Those aren't Speedos.
No,
not trunks, but the Speedo-y thing that kind of comes up a little bit.
Brief. Style.
The brief style.
This, I think, requires traditional banana hammock.
French coot.
banana hammock style Speedos. Yeah.
Yep.
So in response, the pool shut down despite the temperatures being over 40 degrees Celsius.
Which is
and
what?
Everybody loses.
In Fahrenheit.
About 104.
Okay, thank you. So I don't know that.
Temperatures were about first week of August here.
Ooh, yuck.
With the pools closed down because a bunch of people are protesting over stupid rules that shouldn't be in there in right. the first place. Why does it matter what people wear to this the why fucking we can't pool?
That's why we can't have nice things.
Exactly.
And like I said, it should be considered a human right to be able to have a public water access in hot weather. Because
yeah,
I mean, and everybody can kind of imagine the they used to turn on fire hydrants in like New York City on hot days. If there's mm-hmm. power went out or a brownout and all the ACs turn off, people go out. They go out to the river. They go mm-hmm. out. Quinn's Pond is always full of people who can't afford to go to the pool.
Right.
Quinn's Pond has been cleaned up.
Until somebody poops in it.
That was, those were dogs for the most part.
And, oh, yeah, they banned the dogs there, right?
Yeah. Or
they banned dogs.
They did ban dogs. Yeah.
But beside the point, human beings need to gather around water in really mm-hmm. hot conditions.
Yeah, that's why people go to the Grove.
Yeah.
There's a fountain. That's why they go to Ann Morrison Park
fountain.
Yeah.
Yep. And if you exclude a whole group of people because of what they wear, then you're just being a dick.
Yep. All right. So speaking of excluding a whole group of people.
We beat that dick with a dead horse.
Representative Doug Lamborn, Republican of Colorado.
Okay.
Whose district includes Colorado Springs, home of the U.S. Air Force Academy, the National Association of Evangelicals.
Ah.
A bunch of big mega churches and Focus on the Family and other
Ugh.
Fine, outstanding Christian
Come
hate
on,
groups.
Colorado. The rest of you is so cool.
Right? Ah. Anyway, he has introduced legislation to defund PBS. The reason why is...
Because he's offended by Elmo.
Nope. This one's not Elmo. This is Arthur.
Oh, it's the...
Yep, it's the
Mr. Ratburn.
The teacher got married on a recent episode
uh-huh.
to another, his partner.
Yep,
another man.
Yep.
Therefore, he's going to save the country $445 million by defunding PBS completely.
I love all Arthur. Of
it. He claims that this is evidence that PBS is quote. Offensive to many Christians and religious taxpayers.
You know what works? You know what works real well? Just not watching Arthur.
Don't watch it.
Yeah. Just
of course, we as atheists are probably told that all the time.
Just don't
it's
watch
like,
it.
If you don't like the cross, just don't yeah, on that public land. True. Just don't look at it.
It's not public land in that space. We all know that, right? It's a small square that they sold.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about Table Rock. I'm talking in general, the lawsuits that you get. This is like, well, just don't go to that park then. There's plenty of parks.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You have a good point there.
So taxpayer money is going to fund stuff that you don't agree with. Kind of has a point, but you're a dick.
Yeah.
So,
because Arthur's cool.
Because Arthur's cool, and it's one episode. I don't know. Like, when it comes to, like, the legality of certain things, I can see his point.
Right.
But when it comes to for the betterment of all mankind...
People who don't have cable?
Don't take away my frickin' Elmo and Nature Cat because I have a toddler...
Right.
...who is calmed down by such things.
Elmo is protected because Elmo is now the property of HBO.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
That's right.
That's true. And,
but Sesame Street's not on
Wildcrack.
It still is on
PBS. Is it rerun?
Second year.
Oh my God. This arm is so dead right now.
It's delayed a year.
Ow. It hurts.
Don't move it.
Ah. I need to get.
Oh, she's waking. Was that her?
No, that was me.
Oh, I was like, what was that?
The look on her face made that noise.
I want to say he's totally wrong.
Yeah.
But PBS and NPR do tend to have...
More liberal, progressive programming?
Well, so don't they get a lot, like, don't they get quite a bit from liberal organizations, like, nonprofit organizations?
All of it. So, yeah. I can't remember what the article said, but if you were to eliminate PBS funding, it would affect the 0.00002% of the budget. Mm. It is nothing.
Right.
They get almost nothing from the federal government.
So then people would basically rally together and donate
and pay
more.
For it. Yeah. And they've done it before. This has been threatened before.
No, he's claiming this will help with the national debt.
It won't touch the national debt because nobody cares.
That is 0.00002% of the national debt.
Yeah.
So no, it won't help with that.
Right.
It's a minority of the PBS budget.
Yeah.
But it still is a significant portion of the budget.
Well, you know, they all hate Mr. Rogers, who was the one who said something about public television and making it accessible, right? Like, he was a very big proponent of public television.
And a Presbyterian minister. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I watched that documentary. I cried. And then I also saw what they said about him on Fox News. They have a war against Mr. Rogers.
If you're at war with Mr. Rogers,
you're on the wrong side.
Yeah.
Well, they said that he's to blame for the snowflakes, essentially.
Oh my God. So this guy had this great thing. He's like, if I'm trying to decide whether or not to do something, all I have to do is ask myself, would Fred or Steve do it?
Yeah.
Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, mm-hmm. or Steve Rogers, Captain America. It's like, I will wear a shield and a sweater.
So, make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and fight Nazis.
Yeah, and just, you know, love yourself. Yeah. I cannot believe he was a part of self-love.
Self-love. Rose quartz.
Oh. I bet he had a lot of rose quartz.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. We actually haven't gotten to the gems and crystals yet.
Oh, right.
Because that will be coming after the break. All right, so Lauren.
So, as I said earlier, rocks and gems, people. I'm obsessed. I have a huge rock collection, and it's growing every day. All my vacations are around it. What sucks, though,
much to my annoyance,
is if you want... You had fun. if I want to know more about said rock, and you Google search anything that is gem-like, you are going to come up with a whole bunch of metaphysical properties, spiritual properties, magical properties, and I'm just like, I just want to know what the rock is,
right?
So I decided to do this week's little episode discussion on gems and crystal healing therapy.
We'll see.
Exactly. You know, we'll see.
We'll see.
All right.
So big question I had was, how old is this? Is it 1970s, new age, hippy dippy stuff? Is it older than that? It seems like this would be like shamanistic kind of old stuff. And it is, you know, the rocks used to be ground down into powder.
And snorted.
carried
that
around.
That sounds healthy.
carried around in pouches, etc. Huh. And there are some, like, silver is really good for healing. Like, if you have a cut or a rash or something and you put silver on it, it has antibacterial properties. Huh. Mm-hmm. Mercury, the same thing.
Oh,
I mean, but just don't, not large amounts of mercury.
No.
they're actually looking at adding, figuring out how they can add silver into antibiotics to make them more effective without killing your cells, because it is just really good at destroying cells.
Yeah. Mercury used to be in bag balm. That's what made bag balm so good. Mm. That healing cracked hands was the mercury. But that's not what this is. The explanation has to do with energy, and that everything on the earth has energy, and that if you match up the frequencies of energy, you can either amplify or cancel out other forms of energy.
Hmm.
That's the new age hippy dippy 1830s kind of anti-Christian, which was then like deeply finalized in the 1970s. But if you want like a wider, like historically looking at, you're looking at prehistory where they used to carry these around in, you know, pouches and mm-hmm. had altars up through, let's see here, we got biblical origins. There is a breastplate mentioned in the Bible. Aaron's mm-hmm. breastplate.
Yep.
Dustin knew about this.
The high priest Aaron.
A-A-R-O-N. Ah. Exodus 28:15 through 21. And they talked about the stones on his breastplate. Now, they didn't say that they had any significance, just that the breastplate had these stones.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Hebrew Bible, that's the one I went with, because different translations lead to different stones. So that's already like wonky. We got carnelian, which is a, you know, I'm not going to go through all 12. Anyway, there's 12 of them.
12.
12.
On okay. the breastplate.
On the breastplate. So people started thinking, wait a second, there's 12 months. There's 12 apostles. That's crazy. So they took these stones, put way more significance into them than there actually was, and decided that, you know, if you wore a certain gem every month, that it would bring you good luck in you know, in the general wooey sort of way.
Well, okay, so you would have had the 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't actually why they did that.
And the 12 months has nothing to do with that. That is just is because...
That, right. Is that where we get birthstones?
Birthstones come much later, oh, okay. but they are related. What yeah. happened was that in the 8th and 9th century, that's when they finally said... Somebody, I don't know who, said that each of the 12 apostles was designated a stone. And if you're a good person who wanted to, I don't know, say, hail apostles, you wore those each gem each month. From there, when the Gregorian calendar was solidified in the 16th century, somebody, I don't know who, wrote a bunch of poems for each month that had to do with a stone. It's a very artsy-fartsy sort of thing. You know, a mm-hmm. lot of people... It's very inspirational.
Well, okay, going back to earlier in the Middle Ages with that, it would have been made perfect sense that getting a relic of an apostle or saint is very difficult and expensive.
Yeah, they were really into that.
Because the frauds weren't quick enough at manufacturing them.
Yeah.
That came much later, that they got much better at manufacturing them quickly. And so it makes sense that if you can find a gem, those are much easier to find... Carry that crystal around to try to harness the power of the apostle.
Gain favor mm-hmm. through yeah. a certain saint or apostle. Yeah. And then it became fashionable because it's a status thing. And then these poems came along. And in 1870, Tiffany & Co., which, there we go, published the official traditional birthstones based off of these poems.
I just watched a documentary about Tiffany.
Yeah.
But it's about the color.
Oh, the Tiffany blue?
Yeah. Like Pantone made a specific color for Tiffany.
Yeah.
It's a Tiffany blue.
It's a beautiful
color. It is a beautiful color. But they talked a lot. I mean, backstory, but it's interesting.
When it comes to jewelry, Tiffany & Co. is in everybody's vocabulary. Mm-hmm. They did it. They did it the best.
Yeah, they're really good. I mean, everybody wants something from them.
Yeah, yeah. If you find something that's original Tiffany & Co., you're like, right. Rich. Okay.
Everybody wants a blue box.
The birthstones are significant enough that, you know, Lauren, you were upset that Kylie was born 2 hours before the start of December because of the birthstone.
Yeah, I know. She totally screwed me out of a tanzanite. Come on. She's passed out. So it's a marketing. It was a marketing ploy, of course, and it worked. It's great. There's millions and millions of dollars made on getting little chips of specific stones for your mother to wear, and you know.
Luckily, my mom doesn't wear jewelry.
Yes,
never an issue.
Good job there. In 1912, the Jewelers of America standardized and updated that list. So if you look up birthstones, there's going to be a traditional, which is not quite as gemmy, you know, lots of semi-precious stones.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the new updated one, which is going to be the more fancier stones.
Oh.
which, that's where you get like a bloodstone is traditional, which is just a jade with red flecks. And then there's the newer ones that is usually used for fine jewelry, such as rubies, sapphires.
Sapphire's my birthstone.
Mine's diamond. I got screwed.
Yeah.
Because that's the most boring.
Well, just go to Arkansas to that diamond park.
You know what? I'd even go to New York and try getting those. They're quartz, technically, but what are those called? Herkimer. Hmm. Herkimer diamonds.
But marketing again.
Marketing.
Yeah, I mean, diamonds weren't a thing until jewelry companies made them a thing, and I feel like and Tiffany was still, part of that.
Yeah, and there's Lee's. Lee, yeah. They're big into saying that diamonds are super rare and precious, and no, they're not.
But yet they manufacture them in a lab, so they're more sparkly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, you don't want to get the ones that aren't manufactured because somebody died to get you that.
Yeah, for sure, unless you go to Arkansas.
Unless you go to Arkansas and you walk away with freaking 2 grams of diamonds and they're like, whoa, hold on.
Right, I think there was like a young girl who found the biggest chunk.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, she just picked it up off the ground as they were walking out. And they're like, shit. So
this was here the whole time.
Yeah, so getting back to the new age healing stuff, which is what we usually see as being like pseudoscience skeptic crap. And you see it everywhere. We went to Sierra Trading Company and they were selling water bottles that had crystals like tied to the bottom of the water bottles to infuse your water with that crystal's energy.
Oh.
So I was thinking, damn, we should have gotten Aaron the rose quartz one.
Oh, which I think that would even tie in a little bit with homeopathy, with water memory and the like.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, instead I got a bracelet, which is great, which I would rather have than a bottle of water.
A bottle of energy water.
Right, which is just tap water.
Hey, at least our water has optimum fluoride naturally.
Exactly. Strong teeth. So, so I started looking into all the different rocks, all the different crystals, what their meanings are. What do they have to do with chakras, which are Hindu, mm-hmm. zodiac, which is Greece, and this new age spiritual metaphysical nonsense. It's just weird when you start looking at the history. It's all just like, it's just all mixed in, which is what the 1970s New Age religion really did. Right. So they just took a little bit from everything, kind of made it up as they went along.
Mm-hmm.
If you go online and search for certain stones, you'll see lots of contradicting meanings for each of them. But there are a few that are pretty consistent. So I have a few of them listed down here. We're going to experiment today.
Oh, okay.
All right. We're going to try and cure Erin of all of her malaise by by centering her chakras.
Okay, sounds good. Right.
So let's move the rocks over to the table.
If it makes me feel better, that's great.
Yes. So what we're going to do is we're going to have, they haven't been cleansed properly because...
Oh no. Well, then they're not going to work.
Right. Exactly. So cleansing, we're talking about... Yeah, keep them in order, please. Dude, chakras aligned, meaning aligning. He doesn't get it.
I am trying to put them back in order.
He's trying to put them back in order. Cleansing, not as in they are dirty, but cleansing as in they have negative energy and it needs to be cleaned. This is a big deal. Gotta have clean
well,
stones.
And I've been hearing about like energy a lot lately.
Yeah,
maybe
good
because
energy,
yeah,
bad
if you have to put the good energy out there to receive the good energy.
The pseudoscience behind it, like I said earlier, was that everything has a frequency. It's vibrating at a certain mm-hmm. frequency, and some of those energies will cancel each other out or amplify.
Right.
So what we have here is we have a clear quartz on the far left.
Okay.
That is for your Muladhara. Nope. That is for your Sahasrara chakra. That's the crown chakra, top of your head.
So it's supposed to go on the top of my head.
So put it on the top of your head. This is for most white or violet stones. All right. And the whole point to the whole use of stones is you have to really focus on your intention with the stone.
I laugh because it's like, well, we're talking into a microphone and I have headphones on and now I have to balance this rock on my head. But what was I supposed to be focusing on?
Okay, so quartz is for protection, clarity, purifying.
Okay.
It's good for all the zodiacs.
Oh, good.
It amplifies and cleanses other stones and supposedly dispels electromagnetic radiation, so have it near your monitor.
Oh, interesting.
If you're at your desk.
How about with Wi-Fi, or would that destroy the signal?
Ooh, so am I supposed to, like, are we supposed to take this quartz and then clean these stones with it? Oh, did you do that?
I haven't cleansed any of the stones yet.
Okay, hold on.
And you're supposed to hold each stone, just together in your hand like that, and repeat after yourself, dispel negative energy.
Dispel negative energy.
All right.
Kay. Yeah.
So now the amethyst is cleansed. And the malachite. Yes. Very good. It's all about your personal intentions. What's great, though, is that if you go online and look at some of the medical healing stuff for some of this, they all say, do not stop your treatment.
Right, of course.
Please use this in addition to.
I'm sure that's the same way with, like, don't use turmeric to cure your cancer.
It's not going to do. Yeah. Yeah, it's not
okay. Okay. Back on the head.
No, you can put that one down now.
Okay,
we're done with the head.
Okay.
Now we got
myself. So now she's supposed to be feeling what?
She's supposed to feel more clear and purified. Just your intentions are clear. Very nice.
Okay.
Breathe in, breathe out. Okay, next we're going to do amethyst.
Okay.
So I got a little chunk of amethyst. That goes on your third eye chakra, which is, right there in your forehead, which is called the Ajahn. I know you're all rolling your heads. I'm mispronouncing these.
Rolling your heads? You mean rolling your eyes?
Your third eye is at me because I'm mispronouncing these, but... Yeah, she's doing it.
What am I supposed to be?
Calm, clarity, anti-stress, a general feeling of healing. This is for your third eye chakra. It is also good for Pisces, Aquarius, and Capricorns.
Which I'm not.
It balances hormones, boosts immunity, cures headaches, and encourages sobriety.
Well, I am sober, you know. So.
You're doing a good job there. So what's funny about the amethyst is that this is one of the oldest ones that I could find that actually does go back to Greece. They used to use amethyst as like a hangover cure.
Interesting.
Stick amethyst under your pillow after a heavy night of drinking and it'll take away some of your hangover.
So this predates Steven Universe?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Amethyst. Encourages good sleep, cleans out blood disorders. Again, please don't stop treatment.
Wait, right. Cleans out blood disorders. So it's going to clean out your hemophilia, despite hemophilia being...
Sickle cell anemia, maybe?
Lacking something?
Yeah.
It cleans your blood disorder.
Don't worry about it. Lyme disease.
Anti-stress.
Yeah. I mean, okay.
Okay. All right. So now we're moving on to the throat chakra. It's right at the base of your throat where it meets the clavicle. There we go.
Oh,
that
like
is
right
called
here.
The Vishuddha, kind of a... combination of Vishnu and Buddha, Vishuddha.
Mm-hmm.
Blue stones are best for that. In this case, we're using malachite. And this is a transformative stone. So it's supposed to help you change things, if that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's good for Capricorns and Scorpios. It helps activate your chakra and draws out negativity.
Well, I need that.
This is one that you need to clean often because it...
Because it takes so much out.
So good at cleaning out your negativity. So,
and you clean it with quartz.
Or some other stones, but yes.
Okay.
Yes, mostly quartz.
Right.
In a real pinch, if you've got an old quartz watch, you could break that open and use that to cleanse it.
I don't see why not. It's all about your intention.
Right.
Malachite is very good for asthma and arthritis.
Oh.
Yeah. Who would have thought?
Neither of those things I have, so I'm cured.
Wow, it is working. Next, we're doing the heart chakra. This is the Anahata.
Okay.
And this is the rose quartz.
Oh, God. Like, where's my heart?
It's right there.
Right
just
there.
Just in the middle.
Oh, right
chakras,
between
chakras
the cleaves.
Chakras are a straight line down your body.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the rose quartz is love, healing, peace, yada, yada, yada.
Well, I now have a bracelet all the time, but I feel like now I need quartz to clean it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you really need to. Yeah.
Right, because it's a rose quartz bracelet.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be self-cleaning because it's quartz, or does it have to be a clear quartz?
Quartz
got to be.
Quartz is in itself very healing. But if you really have a lot of, I guess, self-hate or hate in your relationships,
well, hey, guys,
perhaps you need to clean that out with some clear quartz.
Ah.
Run it through the clean quartz washer.
Okay.
Good for Libras and Tauruses.
I'm a Libra.
I'm a Taurus. Reduces wrinkles.
Oh, perfect.
That was the best one I found.
Wow.
That is such a specific thing.
And oh, reduces, but doesn't minimize the ones you already have, unfortunately.
I don't know.
So it's still just vague enough to not be falsifiable.
It's exactly.
No, it's just a straight up bullshit claim.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I saw that. I was like, what? You can't claim that. Okay. The next one is the Manipura. That is the solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
So right down below your ribs. There we go. This is citrine,
okay,
which is a yellow stone. And it encourages prosperity and gives you a sunny and enthusiastic disposition.
It's because it's yellow, and that's why.
And this is Kylie's stone.
Oh, so I like it.
It's very nice. That goes on your solar chakra. It's good for Gemini, Leo, Aries, and Libra.
Oh.
And it is very good at dissolving negative energy without the use of quartz.
Ooh.
Yeah. Mm. So, citrine, good to have.
Okay.
Let's see here. The next, this one's a fun one to say. Svadhisthana is the sacral. This is where it starts to get a little uncomfortable for somebody who's sitting in a chair. Basically, it's right about where your uterus is.
Oh, so like
right there.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And
hey guys.
Yeah, at least she knows where that is, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is smoky quartz. Is it? Hold on.
Yeah, isn't this smoky quartz?
No, this is sunstone.
This is sunstone. Okay.
Sunstone is luck, good fortune. May money come your way.
Does it matter which sunstone? Or does it need to be an Oregon sunstone?
This is an this one happens to be an Oregon sunstone.
Well, that's perfect because I was born in Oregon.
There we
so
go.
It must help
this
more.
This clears and energizes all of your chakras. It is good for Leos and Libras.
Oh, again. Great.
And then the last one, the smoky quartz.
Yeah.
Sorry, paper.
Is that one you dug up at Dismal Swamp?
This one is. I dug this myself. And they say the rough stones are the strongest.
It is rough.
Ooh.
So this is a Muladhara. This is your root.
Where does this go?
And this would go on the floor, like in front of you if you were sitting. Or you can sit on it. Nope. Not on the not by feet, but if you were sitting on the floor, it would be right next to your...
I'm supposed to sit on this right
well,
now?
No, you don't have to sit on it, no, but...
I'll put it under my leg.
There you go. Put it under your leg. Smoky quartz is healing and grounding. This is your root chakra. It's good for Scorpios and Capricorn, and it just helps keep you grounded. That's its most powerful association.
So here's the thing. Like, you're supposed to do deep breathing. You're supposed to be what? Like, very intentional. You're supposed to
yes.
be. So basically, it's like a meditation if you're very anxious, which is what a
yes.
lot of people say, like, hey, you should really meditate, work on your breathing if you're a very anxious person, mm-hmm. regardless of like spiritual stuff. It's just
no, there's,
supposed
there's,
to help.
And if
there's
you're,
a lot of good
right,
evidence
if you're
that
you're anxious, yeah. it's really hard to focus on meditating.
Right. So this,
so the stones, with each one having a specific thing to think about, helps you think about those particular things, helps you calm down. And that is their benefit.
Yeah, I think so.
So, you know, if you go to Live Science or any of the other websites that say that this is all bullshit, it's called placebo. They're right, but it doesn't hurt as long as you're not using it to replace treatments.
Right.
Cannot stress that enough.
So right. as long as you aren't assuming that it has magical power.
Yeah.
It's going
For
to-
me, right. I can totally see myself getting into this because I like rocks.
Yeah.
You can have altars. You can have pouches that you carry yeah. around with you. I'm not going to start burning sage or anything, but it's kind of cool that I actually have the rocks to do an entire chakra.
Right.
Without having to have left my house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, all the things like having intention, right? Like ridding yourself of negativity. I mean, you're all, what you're doing with these stones is you're doing it yourself. Like if you
you're just
if you're thinking about it.
It,
yeah, exactly. Okay, I want to rid the negativity, And now I'm kind of meditating on this and I have slower breath and I'm really thinking about being happier. Well, that's you.
Yeah.
That's you doing all that
now,
work.
I don't know. Some of these claim that they are going to actually help with certain ailments or help you with luck or money.
Right.
But what I think it does do for some people is, let's say you're carrying a sunstone around with you and you're like, this is going to bring me prosperity. Oh, look, I found a penny.
Oh, right.
It's my lucky
penny.
There we
go.
Lucky day. Yep. It works. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then you also have the people that are just the true believers that they go to the shop and the shop has their incense burning and will teach you how to do everything to harness the power of
and
your crystals.
Like, this was like a total mess of energy, right? Because I didn't clean the stones. You did not choose each individual stone. So usually you'd have a bucket of quartz and you go in there and you would hold it and you would feel it. And if it feels like, oh, this is right, then that's the one you purchase for $45.
Right.
Or stick in your water bottle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
These were all given to you from somebody else.
Right.
Which isn't quite, you know.
So then the water bottles wouldn't work because you aren't picking the stone. You're just picking
the bottle. Yeah, that's if you cleansed it and you really intensified it.
Intense
with your intentions.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's my little delve into the world of rocks and gems.
Still, it's marketing.
It's all marketing.
It's all about marketing.
They're pretty. They're shiny. They show status.
Right.
That's just...
because you had $45 to get that crystal.
Or, you know, three.
But if you're kind of new agey, hippy-dippy, and you actually want to earn...
meta
semi-legitimate
points.
Money.
Right.
You roam around to rock shows and pick up crystals and then have set up a little shop and start... selling them to people
and start defining these rocks on websites so that people who are just wanting to know what this jasper is called has to go through a whole freaking website of bullshit just to figure out what the jasper is called.
Well, wouldn't you just go to a gemologist site?
Well, yes, basically. But it's just funny on Google searches. You look for jasper I found in Oregon. It's going to go off on a list.
Oh, well, of course, if you're Google Oregon with it, you're going to get all the shops, right?
All the shops.
Yeah. so here's the thing. I mean, for a person who is going through a hard time again, and I think we've talked about this with depression and anxiety, and then what do you do when you don't believe in a god,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, this is like the next best thing, maybe.
I don't know therapy.
I mean, it is therapy and you're
it's
helping
therapeutic.
Again, you're helping yourself, because I don't want to feel negative anymore. I have been hanging around people who are intuitive and read charts and stuff like that, and there's something comforting to be like, oh, okay, I'm in a starting over year right now. That's numerology.
New beginnings. Mm. I forget which one that is. New beginnings is has something to do with pregnancy.
Oh no,
I don't remember which stone it is.
Right,
but no, yeah, and it's a self help guide.
It is,
because everybody needs to improve their freaking mental health
and for the marketing of magical powers, you need to have it worked out enough to where people feel that it is actually doing something.
Right. But
otherwise, you aren't going to get repeat business, and repeat business is the core to any successful business.
Well, it's like trying to sell a diet. Once you get people to start thinking about what they're eating, all of a sudden their diets improve.
Yeah. Intuitive eating is what that's called.
Oh!
When you start thinking about, how's this going to make me feel? What's this going to do as opposed to this? Why am I hungry right now? Why am I sitting here
actually thinking about?
Yes, exactly. You, yeah. So it's called intuitive eating.
And not just downing chips.
Right. So the thing is that, again, I think the key is if you're in treatment for something like a mental illness, this is not in replacement of your antidepressant, anti-anxiety medication.
Or therapy.
Or therapy. Like, you can incorporate, and maybe this will help.
Mm-hmm. Use it as a tool to aid in meditation.
Right, exactly.
Because that's about all it's going to be good for.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got feedback from Beatrice via the website. I was surprised to hear my name as a new patron on your podcast. Well, you should be surprised if you give us money.
Right.
We're going to thank you. back to what she wrote. It was probably the highlight of my day. I increased my pledge amount, although you don't need to announce it.
And then we just announced it.
And will again. It's not that much, but your show means quite a lot to me right now. I feel surrounded, almost ambushed by well-meaning fundies. But no, I can retreat to my cell phone and earplugs and try not to smile smugly. I've partially come out, but it has been ugly. Thanks for keeping me sane.
You're welcome.
We get messages like this every so often, yeah. And it definitely helps knowing that what we do matters to people.
For sure. Because sometimes I just feel like I'm speaking into the void.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
And then from Celia via email. Hey, Dustin, I was listening to your most recent episode where you had your friend on to share about his transition to atheism and his diagnosis with ALS. I feel very sorry for your friend about his ALS. I hope he lives long enough for there to be an effective cure or treatment to treat his ALS and even reverse the damage done to his body. If not, I hope he's given every opportunity to make the most out of what he has left in his life to be happy. However, listening to his story, there was something that kind of pissed me off a bit. It's not you or the show. The show is fine. I enjoy you, Lauren and Aaron, and your occasional guest every week on Atheist Nomads. What pissed me off was when I was listening to your friend talking about his transition to atheism and recent diagnosis of ALS, I couldn't help but think of what my superstitious Christian family and relatives would say about Dave if they were listening along with me. As I was listening, I couldn't help myself but imagine them saying awful, bigoted, uncompassionate shit like, God gave him ALS for being an atheist. He better turn around and make it right with God before it gets worse, or it might be too late. And I know they would say that because my mom gave me the same shit to me about being a transgender woman and some of my hard times in my life. That just proves that their God is not a loving God. He's a massive dick. He's like Kim Jong-un in God mode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad a God like that couldn't possibly be real because I'd rather go to hell with Dave and you guys instead of going to heaven and going hallelujah, praise God, and sucking his dick 24/7. Religion should have no place in this 21st century modern world outside of references in pop culture, art, and literature. Anyway, I always enjoy Atheist Nomads. Keep the show going. Sinfully yours, Celia.
Oh my gosh.
P.S. As a member of the Satanic Temple, I will say this about religion today. The Satanic Temple should be the only one true religion in the world today. I mean, they're activists for progressive ideas. Ave Satanas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine, but like, I don't have that experience. I don't have the experience of having a very religious family. I mean, I guess I had that when I decided to piss them off and become Mormon, but yeah. I've never had that. But I will say I have had that feeling before, I mean, it's me who feels this way of like all the bad things in my life are happening because I obviously did something bad to deserve all this bad stuff. So it's not just religion. And maybe it is. Maybe it's just ingrained in the culture.
There appears to be something in, because if you look at cults and the like, cults, mainstream religion, religious groups, and even diets,
mm-hmm.
people... There is at least a certain portion of the population who wants to suffer.
Right.
And if it sucks, if it hurts, if it's hard, if it's difficult, that must be right.
Yeah. To
and
a degree.
A great example on it would be with Gnosticism in the early church days, the libertine Gnostics that had orgies and feasts all the time.
Ooh.
Never became a major thing.
Yeah.
It was the ascetic Gnostics who were abstinent, beat themselves daily, would routinely starve themselves.
Yeah, we like to
do everything they could to punish the flesh.
Right.
Those were the ones that were the serious threat to Christianity.
Right. Well, we like to, you know, we like to punish ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what, that's exactly what it is. But I also feel like even though I didn't grow up religious, then I had too much religious in my face.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got very, I mean, with a mental illness, with learning, I know this is going to sound weird to some, learning too much And maybe it's also because I'm too self-aware and too aware of things that then all of a sudden I picked up this thing where it was like, yeah, it, like karma, you know, which is skewed differently if you really look at karma. It's supposed to be an instant thing. But, you know, oh, this bad, this really bad thing happened to me. What did I do?
Mm-hmm.
What did I do earlier to make that happen now?
And there is a definite human need to be able to blame an agent for what happened to you. Because if it happened just because it happened, that is terrifying.
It is, but
you want something in control of what happened to you.
So in some ways, you know, some ways it's like, some things happened to me because, I do have, a discombobulated brain.
Okay. So, and in Dave's case, he cut for the most part, has cut Christians out of his life.
Yeah.
So he isn't getting that. But also Dave actually isn't my friend. I had never talked to him before the interview.
Mm-hmm.
So at the start of the interview, we'd spoken a total of 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've just been doing interviews on the podcast for 7 years.
You just know. You just know how to do it. But that's the whole thing. It's like, of course he's going to cut people out because he probably, again, does not want to hear about that either.
Right.
And sometimes people are also well-meaning in the most ridiculous ways of saying stuff like, you know, God only gives you what you can handle. You can handle this, this death sentence.
Well, and
oh God.
And most of those statements, and you know, like in Celia's case, even the things that her mom said to her, as horrible as those are, the motivations for saying it were good.
Yeah,
the inputs into what were said were toxic, horrible, bullshit garbage.
Absolutely. I mean, she probably said that because it made her feel good. Because she's trying to justify, right? Like,
no,
to justify.
The mom would have said that because she honestly believed, probably honestly believed that Celia was bringing all of this on herself.
Right.
And was trying to help.
Right.
Because of the garbage, she doesn't know how to help.
Yeah.
And instead was causing harm.
Exactly. It's like when people say, hey, you know what? All this hard time, that's all you're doing. All you have to do is just be positive. Just be positive.
Or in the case of religious fundamentalists,
right?
Just get good with God.
Right, just
get good with God and everything will be fine. God will take care of it.
Just be good with Jesus. Baby Jesus. Sweet, sweet baby Jesus.
All right, so we have a new patron, Jim LaRocca, and an upgrading patron, Beatrice.
Thank you, Beatrice.
And Jim.
But Beatrice specifically asked not to be mentioned, so yeah, we have to thank her especially.
Well, we already read
She didn't
that.
Ask not to be. She said we didn't need to.
Well, now we're going to make a big deal out of it, Beatrice.
Because we're so nice.
So freaking nice.
We're going to be aggressively nice to you.
Dude,
right
we just
now.
Invited all of you to a camping trip.
Oh,
all
gosh.
Right? So
oh,
that's
no.
freaking nice.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
My baby's crying.
So that's it for this week. There will be... If you aren't a patron, you missed out on a lot. So
yeah,
it is good to be a patron.
Uh-huh.
So good to be a patron.
AtheistNomads.com/donate for how? Aaron, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Do you have anything to plug?
Not right now.
All right.
Taking a self-care break.
Yes. She puts the tired and retired. No, wait. That's
nope,
not retiring.
Nope, I'm not retiring.
Retired.
And Lauren, thank you for powering through.
Woo!
And listeners,
I love you, Kylie.
And Kylie, thank you for sleeping through most of the episode. That was awesome.
I love you. Yeah.
And listeners, remember, not all those who wander are lost. Thank you for listening to another episode of Atheist Nomads. You can find show notes and contact information at atheistnomads.com. Follow us on Twitter at Atheist Nomads and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/atheistnomads. Please subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or your podcatcher of choice. And while you're there, feel free to leave us a review. Theme music is courtesy of Sturdy Fred. Until next time, this has been the Atheist Nomads.